The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Back in April of this year, a 12-year-old Australian boy made international news. After a heated argument with his parents one night, he tricked his grandmother the next morning into giving him his passport. He then booked and boarded a flight to Bali, then checked into an All Seasons hotel. His mom had assumed that he was at school. Instead, the boy spent 4 days roaming the city of Bali and basking on the beaches before he was retrieved by his parents. Today, when a child goes missing, as it should, it makes the news. Many of us may have heard this story and even had our own opinions about it. We're quick to blame the airlines. Not enough security. How in the world did they let a 12-year-old boy traveling alone get onto the plane? I'm certainly not going to book a flight on that airline. We're also quick to blame the hotel. Really? Give a child a room without seeing any responsible adults nearby? We're quick to blame the parents. Clearly poor parenting. They don't have control over their children. We might even say, when I was a child, my parents, ... We're also quick to blame the child. Headstrong. Too big for his britches. Lack of maturity. So what do we think of the gospel story today when Mary and Joseph lost Jesus? Since Mary and Joseph are the earthly mother and father of Jesus, we may be hesitant to start playing that blame game. We're more likely to claim that this was a different time. Age 12 then is like 18 now. Much more independent and mature. Almost a man, even. Besides, in those days, travel was done in large family groups. A 12-year-old could have been with the uncles or the aunts, the extended family. It was more like a village then. Families took care of each other. Truth is, though, Mary and Joseph lost Jesus for 3 days. Both the Australian parents and Mary and Joseph searched frantically for their boy until he was found. Then they asked that million-dollar question, "Why on earth did you do this to us?" The Australian boy's response, It was great. I wanted to go on an adventure. Jesus' response, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Neither of the mothers were amused at the antics of their sons. The Australian mother was reported to be shocked and disgusted. Mary and Joseph were astonished. They didn't understand. Looking at both stories now with that amazing 20/20 vision, there might have been a critical parenting mistake. Both parents assumed they knew where their boy was, in school, or with a group of family travelers. We all know what happens when we assume. Unless you rely on extra-biblical sources, we don't know all the childhood and adolescent stories of Jesus. There are no stories in the other three Gospels about Jesus growing up. And this is the only story we have in the Gospel of Luke. Perhaps this was the very first time in Jesus' life when he wasn't where his parents expected him to be. But it certainly wasn't the last. No one expected that Jesus would flee to Egypt as a young child, hang out with the marginalized, the lepers, the outcasts, the poor. No one expected Jesus to die on a cross as a criminal and then rise from the dead. When Jesus Christ is in our lives, it won't be what we expect either. Do we assume, too, that we know where Jesus is? I remember as a child, I assumed my teacher lived in her classroom at the school. I was absolutely certain that woman slept under her desk every night. One of the preschool children here at Faith thinks that every time she looks in my office, that I should always be there. Do we assume, too, that we will meet Jesus only in this building? Only in the most pious of our friends? Only in the goodly and the godly? If we assume that we know where Jesus is, we too might fail to see Jesus in the most unlikely of places and people. In the elderly man who can't remember his name or remember that he's our dad. In the child who is somehow overly enthusiastic. In that one who struggles with addiction. In the Chick-fil-A or the Taco Bell now up the hill, the office break room, the child care center, or the drug store. What if we as a congregation of Faith Lutheran assume that we too know where Jesus is and what he's doing? Will we too miss the voice of Jesus, who may be calling us into another time? Another ministry, even another way of doing things? When we assume we know where Jesus is, we too might lose Jesus. If we're honest, some of us might say that yes, we have lost Jesus in our life. Maybe for only 3 or 4 days. Maybe for a season of our life. The times when our life is seemingly in order, that might be the time that we lose Jesus. We begin to assume that we are responsible for our own life. Hard work, smart investments, good parenting. We begin to ignore the nudge that we keep feeling. But there is something more going on something more going on than just ourselves. We may not find a need to pray or come to worship. We don't feel the need to keep learning and keep questioning. So we let Jesus go. Sometimes when our life is in chaos, we might also lose Jesus. We might get angry and detach from our lives and our families. We might get mad at God and the world and anything that steps in our way. Jesus didn't stop that bad thing from happening in our life. So we let Jesus go. I can't help but wonder if life for that Australian family has changed since they lost their son in Bali. I really hope that life has changed for them. I hope the boy now understands that there are ways to deal with anger and frustration other than to run away. I hope they talk and listen more to each other, treasure more each other's presence, and stop the blame game. I hope they begin to value the relationships that are family. Did Mary and Joseph change their lives after they lost Jesus? Our text tells us that Mary kept and treasured these things in her heart. I can only begin to imagine what they went through as they began to fully give their earthly son over to his heavenly Father. They clung tightly to Jesus, yet they gave him away. If we've lost Jesus, even for a short time, has it changed our life? I wonder if we now share with others this lost and found experience so they too know that they may not be alone. Perhaps we now cling even more tightly to our relationship with Jesus and treasure it even more. Johann Sebastian Bach's Cantata 124, which was first performed in 1725, is a reflection on this text from the Gospel of Luke. And I want to leave you with the words from the translation of his chorale. I will not let go of my Jesus, since he has given himself for me. My duty demands, therefore, that I cling to him like a burr. He is the light of my life. I will not let go of my Jesus. Amen.